World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got my embattled warrior shirt on today. I was trying to figure whether I'd put a different one on. You know, I didn't really. Michelle was still asleep this morning. She's always up. And I thought, man, if I go in there and turn on the light and get just to get a shirt out, I'm not going to do that to her. I'll let her sleep a little bit longer. But I do. Embattled warrior prepared to, I can't even read the rest of it upside down. Anybody else feel like an embattled warrior out there? Well, I do. I do. A lot of great stuff I want to share with you today. My temperature is a little bit lower than yesterday. Can I brag? Yeah, I can brag. I want to brag on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. The last 2 weeks, we've had about five of the most unbelievable shows I've ever seen, let alone be part of. They've been deep. They've been deep and they've been good. And I just want to thank God for all of you out there, because you know, whether we, all those who want to call us cultists, whether they understand it or not, we're pretty much on the same page. The Lord's speaking the same thing to a lot of different people. It's not like, you know, somebody comes on here and says that this is what it is. This is what we all have to do. No. We're seeing a lot of really unbelievable stuff that's going on. And boy, it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time. Listen, I don't know how you get others to watch. I don't know how you do. Or even the old shows. I guess maybe one of the things, this might cause you a little bit of work to do it. By the way, we're off YouTube. Don't send anybody to YouTube anymore. But you know, you may find a 5-minute segment that was really good in a particular program. And you might send it to one of your friends. Rather than say, watch this show, I don't know what you think. I open up a show and it's an hour long. I think I ain't got time for that. But if you would open up a show and send it to some of your friends and say, hey, watch this from the 10-minute mark to the 12-minute mark, they might do that. If you find some real, we've been uncovering some truths, haven't we? And if you could find just that little segment where that truth was revealed and send it to your friends and say, just watch this 3 minutes right here and tell them what the 3 minutes are. And begin to just inoculate them with truth. Just begin to feed them with truth. Because, again, I'm like this. I don't like following new people. It just seems so stupid. So why would I follow that guy? Why would I follow? What's he know that I don't know? Somebody give me a thumbs up. Say, yeah, you're right. And if we're not careful, we got all these. So just pick out a little segment and send it to him. Say, just watch this. Just watch this. And then that's all. And then maybe a couple days later, do another one. So just watch this little segment right here. Tell me what you think when you watch this. Because, man, oh, man. Hey, I'm just going to say it didn't sound bad. We've been having some issues. God bless all of you who support us financially. God bless you. We've been having some issues. Whoops, my spinning. By issues, I mean, a lot of times some of you make an offering and the offering doesn't go through. I don't know what's going on. So you made an offering, you assumed we got it, and we didn't get it. So remember this, I think Jared would help me out here. Anytime you make an offering to us, you get an email saying it went through. If you don't get an email saying it went through, it probably didn't go through. So just a heads up on that for those of you out there who do support us. We sure do appreciate it. I got to jump right out of the gate. Unbelievable. Go to the Columbus Zoo Facebook page for me, Spence. And before he does it, we are living in, I don't even know how to describe the world we're living in. I mean, really, is there anything that's true anymore? Is there any company out there that would stand up and say, I ain't buying that. That is stupid. Now, I'm going to show you something here from the Columbus Zoo. Columbus Zoo, all right? Now, I think the zoo is about science, isn't it? Isn't that the zoo about science and evolution? And you go there and you understand how the animals. I think it is, isn't it? I think so. Can somebody tell me what being gay, homosexual, what does that have to do with the zoo? Wait a minute. If homosexuality was in animals, somebody help me out here, would they be able to reproduce? Wait a minute. How do two gay parrots have sex? Do they? Do two gay parrots have sex? Folks, I'm not trying to be outlandish. I'm not trying to be wild and crazy. I'm trying to show you what is out there. Who is it at the Columbus Zoo that thinks, you know what? On the last day of Gay Pride Month here, let's feature same-sex birds. Now, are they in a boardroom and they're arguing, talking back and forth? Would this be good? How about this? Certainly somebody just doesn't put this together. They're in some type of leadership meeting and somebody says, yeah, that would be a good feature. Who is the Columbus Zoo trying to reach? Who are they trying to reach? How many, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and let's say that homosexuals are 10% of the population. Why would a company cater to 10% of the population? For the life of me, I don't get it. So I want to show you, my wife showed me this. This popped up yesterday on the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium. Click on See More, Spencer. See, folks, these are gay parrots, okay? No, sorry. Same-sex parrots. What? Yeah, same-sex parrots. Now, gay pride, okay, I'm going to read right from their website. How many of you support the Columbus Zoo? We do. Sorry, we do. So it says, to close out Pride Month, we're highlighting one of the same-sex, I can't even read that word, something pairs that live in Lorikeet. So here we got two male parrots. And we now are projecting homosex on them. So they're closing out the last day in the garden and zoos, Australia and the islands region. Lenny and Squiggy. Oh, isn't that sweet? Lenny and Squiggy have been a bonded pair since 2019. Oh, that's a long time. Well, that's almost 2 years they've been dating. Same sex pairings. Folks, this is a Columbus Zoo based on science. If there are same-sex relationships in animals, the species dies out. Same-sex pairings. This is not the Babylonian Bee. This is real. Same-sex pairings in the animal kingdom are not unusual. And several other zoos have noted same-sex pairings. Can I say something? I used to love to run out and get a beer with my buddies. When I was single, I always had male roommates. I hung out with male roommates. I didn't have sex with any of them. I didn't desire to have sex with them. I'd come home, we'd drink a six-pack of beer together. We would watch a football game together. You could say that we were bonded together. Dave Corns, who's now dead, God bless Dave Corns, Ted Van Tine, Mike Shannon, and Pat Mack. I could run down to a litany of men I bonded with over my life. Without ever touching a dinkle. Same-sex pairings in the animal kingdom are not unusual. They're not unusual in the human kingdom either. And several other zoos have noted the same-sex pairings. Right? Really? Is that right? Is anybody watching them? Pardon me. How do parrots perform sodomy? Somebody help me out here. Lenny and Squeaky are often seen feeding and grooming each other and displaying courtship behaviors to one another. Folks, this is science.
Brainwashing.
Most days of the week, Lenny and Squeaky choose to participate in enrichment, engaging with items that can be made into a house, such as cardboard boxes, branches, eucalyptus, dimple paper tubes. I wonder if they go to gay bathhouses in any container of a substance, shavings, mulch. Spencer's shown us the pictures of Love is Love. Folks, this is unbelievably sick. Unbelievably sick. Now, I'm supposed to just say, oh, isn't this sweet? You want to get blown away, huh? Hey, Spencer, do this. I'm going to get off this here in a second. Hey, Spencer, I said to Michelle last night, I said, I got to read the comments. I bet people are throwing the eggs at this one. Huh? Sorry. Nope, sorry. Everybody's talking about how, oh, of course they're bonded pair. They wear their rainbow pride all the time. Great ambassadors. My aging Gen X heart is delighted that you named them Lenny and Squeaky. I'm a fan of zoos. Does captivity encourage animals to bond? Seems like bonding is a survival mechanism. This is my same-sex pairing fee. Folks, we have lost our stinking minds. That this is acceptable. Brainwashing, as Mark said. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable what's going on. Now I'm going to show you something else then. Spencer, pull up Ohio Dems Bang. Wow. And we'll give you a chance to weigh in here in a second. Go ahead, Tracy, weigh in there a second. Then Jeff, go ahead.
Well, I hate to let everyone know, but the Columbus Zoo is part of where my son got woke. So he's way far out there, gay pride flag up on his house and no American flag. So, I mean, I've been having a lot of people pray for him, my whole family and stuff. He's not gay or anything, but he really supports all of that. And he probably wrote that article as far as I know. So. They're Sorry. Crazy there. They are crazy. And just pray see, hard for that see, because folks, he needs to come back to the other side.
So, Tracy, here's what's going on, folks. See, they're trying to brainwash you to say, see, other animals do this. In other words, you're just an animal. You're just an animal. The parakeets do it. The alligators do it. The bears, why they even cuddle up together. It's perfectly normal. You understand where this is going? Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, it's the way to pervert reality. You know, it's intimacy and then there's sexual intimacy. And listen, we build buildings, we can construct sidewalks, we can develop self-control. But the ideology to use parents are a social animal and make it look like it's justified for sodomy, no.
Why would they do this? Why would they do this? Okay, Ohio Democrats bang on desk, disrupt, vote on. You got to see this. Scroll on down the bottom. So Jenna Powell, who's an elected representative here in Ohio, she made an amendment in the state house saying that men can't play in women's sports. Men can't play in women's sports. Jenna Powell did that, right? She's a very young lady. Sweet young lady, I've met Jenna, and so she reads from the Senate floor, the House floor, her amendment to protect women sports. Right, scroll down, Spencer. I think they show the. I think that you got to see this, friends. Oh, maybe they don't show. Dumb. Coach, why would you do that, Spencer? Somewhere on there has to be a video of this. I didn't just scroll by this. Go back up at the top. There's an old saying. Scroll down. Stop right there. So women's sports, Powell courageously pushed through. Try that. Click on plus, push through, see what happens. Yeah, this might be it. I don't know.
To support this piece of legislation.
Question is, shall the bill pass? The chair recognizes Representative Powell.
Mr. Speaker, I move to amend with Amendment 1594.
Listen now.
The chair has the amendment. The amendment appears to be in order. The representative may proceed.
Wonderful. The Save Women's Sports Act is a fairness issue for women to be able to achieve their dreams and athletics in our state. And it's crucial to preserving women's rights and the integrity of women's and girls' sports. Across our country, female athletes are currently losing scholarships, opportunities, medals, education, and training opportunities. This amendment will require schools that are part of the OHSAA to designate separate teams for participants of the biological
Those
sex.
Are Democrats. Freeze them.
No
freeze
school
freeze.
Inter-
freeze them, Spencer.
No school.
Folks, these are Democrats in the room pounding on the table as she's trying to protect women's sports. Spencer, slide back about 30 seconds because I want you guys to hear this, all right? This is in the State House, and she's doing nothing more than trying to protect women's sports. Go ahead. Now, listen, folks, the pounding in the background are Democrats standing up, pounding their shoes on tables as she's reading the amendment. Go ahead.
Women to be able to achieve their dreams and athletics in our state. And it's crucial to preserving women's rights and the integrity of women's and girls' sports. Across our country, female athletes are currently losing scholarships, opportunities, medals, education, and training opportunities. This amendment will require schools that are part of the OHSAA to designate separate teams for participants of the biological sex. No school interscholastic conference or organization that regulates interscholastics shall permit biological males to participate on athletic team or an athletic competition designated only for biological female participants. Currently, OHSAA allows biological males to compete against biological females if they either completed a year of hormone therapy, demonstrated they do not possess physical.
God bless Jenna Powell. Folks, that's non-human. Do you understand that? There's something non-human going on in that room.
Hey, Coach, did you see him smiling?
Well, I can tell you, Vinny, there's another angle. Somebody else did another angle of this. I couldn't find it this morning. It's unbelievable, friends. It's unbelievable. And they continue to say we are the ones who are out of the mainstream. I put a meme up on Facebook. Can somebody tell me the last time you saw that a transgendered woman was trying to compete in men's sports? Anybody find that? Some woman becomes a man and then goes and tries to play in the NBA. Anybody got any record of any of that going on? No. It's always the other way around, isn't it? It's always the other way around. Come on in, Myra, then Reggie, then Ohio Brett. And I got some great stuff for you today. Stay with us. Go ahead, Myra.
Good morning, Saints. How are you?
Good.
Tracy, I'm going to keep you, your son in my prayers. And I want to read Isaiah 5:20-21.
Okay.
Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and planted in their own sight. Thank you.
Amen, and they are for sure, Myra. Good word, Myra. Come on in, Reg.
Good morning, everybody. I just want to point out something. I'm sure you all see it, but it's the same behavior when we go out and profess truth in the streets. They try to make a lot of noise and shut you up. You're allowed to profess any truth.
That's right. It's called jamming. Jamming. That's right, folks. That's right.
You got to jam them back, Coach. You got to jam them back.
We got to keep jamming them back, baby. Got to keep jamming them back. Come on in, Ohio Brett.
Hey, Coach. Good morning, team. Hey, if that doesn't make you want to get up and fight, I don't know what to tell you. That's disgusting that they do jam us. And when you're talking about recruiting for this team, Coach, every single one of us on this call right now in the huddle and around the world, when you go to CoachDaveLive.com, CoachDaveLive.com, it's so great and professional when you watch your show on CoachDaveLive.com. I get in the huddle every day, but it is such a professional show. And so recruiting, ask one person every day, hey, do you want to be on a team again? Do you want to be on a real team? Gosh, it's not hard to recruit. We got to ask every day.
Ask and share, Brett. Ask and share. Hey, folks, I'm going somewhere today, okay? By the way, up on the screen right now, I'm not going to dive into this, but I want this to put into the chat, okay? So anybody can look this up if they want to. This came out June 30th, today's July 1, right? The 2,000-year-old Book of Giants describes how the Nephilim were destroyed. It's a fascinating article. Now, I'm sorry the people of your church don't believe in the Nephilim. I'm sorry if they've debunked it. Where I went to seminary, my denomination, we don't believe in it. Okay, cool. So I'm not going to dive into it. But you want to know what the Book of Giants is about? Say, what's the Book of Giants? Well, that was a book that was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Really? When was that? Oh, about 19. When were the Dead Sea Scrolls found? Anybody know out there off the top of your head? It wasn't that long ago, 30 years ago maybe, Dead Sea Scrolls. New information. New biblical information, right?
1947.
Don't tell me that.
I'm telling you. When Israel came into a nation, that was found. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. A lot of stuff going on in 1947. The Dead Sea Scrolls.
Also, by the way, Coach, the CCP, the Chinese Party, was formed in 1948. And we supported it as Americans.
When was Israel formed?
1948.
Wow. When did they do the separation between the church and state? Does anybody know when that happened? Oh, yes, 1948. Thank you very much. 1947, 1948, right? Now, listen. Your church, you guys don't believe this because it's not in the Bible. Well, it's not in the Bible because these Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in 1947. Right? A lot of stuff in there. Oh, wow. I'm not even going to argue with you. Okay, here we go. Here's where I'm heading today. Spencer, if you want to, put that Book of Giants in the chat and put also this in the chat if you want to, so people can just read all they want to, stuff that was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Dead Sea. If the scrolls weren't dead, it was in the Dead Sea. The scrolls were near the Dead Sea, 1947. 50 years ago, researchers came across one of the most important archaeological discoveries of the century when they discovered thousands of ancient scrolls among them. They found the Book of Giants, which speaks of the Nephilim and their destruction. Share that with your pastor. Okay, so let's go to natural law. I got so much stuff to talk about, man. Lord, help me here. Help me here. Natural. This is. I didn't think it'd be that long. I don't want to use that clip. It's too long. We'll get to it. Let's go to newswithyous.com. You ready, Silver? I want to do a little bit of a study on that. I'm going to get to Psalm 73 here in a minute too.
Yeah, Coach.
Okay. I wrote this, but I want to give credit right now to John Diamond. Because Dr. John Diamond gave me the information to be able to do this, all right? But I think this is really, this is so good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You can ask Michelle. I labored over this all day yesterday. I couldn't get anything else done, trying to get this commentary out so that it would make sense, all right? Are all Americans truly American? Do you remember the Bible talks about those who say they are Jews and are not? You remember that? Do you remember when the Bible says not all Israel is Israel? I think the Holy Spirit showed me that not all Americans are American. And Silver, if you would, take some time, and I'm going to sit here and try to be quiet. I want you all to take all of this in, okay? You'll see. The difference between being an American and adhering to Americanism. We have to get this. If we don't get this, we won't understand what's going on, okay? Go ahead. I'm going to pat myself on the back. Thank John Diamond. This is good. This is heavy, okay? Go ahead.
Are all Americans truly American?
What does it mean to be American? Is it something that is determined by birth? Partially, I assume. But simply being born in America does not make one a real American. My friend Dr. John Diamond enlightened me to this reality the other day, and I want to share with you his wisdom. Just as the Bible tells us that not all Israel is of Israel.
Hang on, Joe. Not all Israel is of Israel. Not all Americans are of America. Go ahead, brother.
It would be true to say that not all Americans are Americans, because we do not recognize that being an American is more than legal birth status. There is so much chaos and confusion in America. Not all Americans are American. Permit me to elaborate on what Dr. Diamond shared with me. Being an American is a birthright, and it is distinct from Americanism. Americanism is a belief that in what Superman defined as it as truth, justice, and the American way. There is an American way, but not every American follows it. The original American way is under assault today by those who are simply birthright Americans. The American way is spelled out in the pledge. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Our founders framed this nation on the principles of natural law or organic law. Nature has laws. They are immutable and unbreakable. Moral laws form the foundation of all law. Organic simply means the origin of the law. That which makes the law, the law.
You with me so far? Huh? This is profound. I'm telling you.
An ism is a distinctive doctrine, cause, or theory. Americanism is a belief system, a code of ethics based on moral law. American.
I left an S off there.
American connotes. Citizenship.
Yeah, citizenship.
Americanism is a way of life. Not all Americans believe in Americanism. Multiculturalism is un-American as it seeks to supplant Americanism as the law of the land. All true Americans support Americanism. Here are the foundations upon which America stands, called Americanism.
Okay, so let me stop right there. Americanism is under assault by all the other isms. I'm going to get to that, but I want you to understand that. An ism is what? An ism is a way of life, a way of... That's what it is. So multiculturalism is the idea of trying to undermine Americanism. Okay, Joe, now I'm going to lay out here for you from John Diamond, put this together. This is what this, folks, here is the foundation of Americanism, okay? To be a real, true American, sorry, this is what you have to believe. Go ahead, Joe.
God, the Creator, is acknowledged as supreme, appealing to the supreme judge.
Okay, so number one, in Americanism, we believe in a Creator, and He is supreme. That's Americanism. Number two.
The citizens believe that all men are created, not evolved, equal, regardless of race, color, nationality, language, or ethnicity, treated equally under the law.
So we're all created. Americanism, you believe all men were created by God equally. That's Americanism. It's a principle of Americanism. Number three.
Our rights are natural and come from the Creator, and therefore can never be taken, unalienable rights. Nor can God ever be separated from government.
Why can't God ever be separated from a government? Because he is the grantor of all rights. You cannot separate God and government. Folks, this is what, if you are a practitioner of Americanism, you believe this. Okay. Keep going, Joe.
The Christian God is the supreme authority on all matters of morality. He is the king, lawgiver, and judge. The laws of nature and nature's God are at the foundation of all law.
If you agree with everything we've read so far, then you practice Americanism. Okay, I want you to understand this. You practice Americanism if you agree with everything we've read so far. Go ahead.
True American people willingly submit to divine authority. Man's laws reflect the authority of the laws of God. Hence, one nation under God.
All laws emanate from God, and we all willfully follow them. Go ahead.
The primary function of government is to protect our God-given rights. Quote, to secure these God-given rights, governments are instituted among men.
So all people who believe in Americanism believe the function of government is to protect your God-given rights. If you practice Americanism, that's what you believe. The government is there to protect your rights. Go ahead.
The Constitution was created to restrain government from usurping our God-given rights. We, the people, retain the right and duty to remove those from office who violate our natural rights.
Hang on, Joe. Where do natural rights come from? Natural rights are the foundation of all other rights, and they are based in morality. Natural rights are moral-based, unchangeable, immutable morality, okay? So, go ahead.
That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right, it is the duty of the people to alter or to abolish it and institute new government.
Okay, so don't miss. What's at the foundation? What's at the foundation of all natural law? God and morality. It is the foundation of all law. And so when Oprah Winfrey says to you and to me that you have to follow your truth, see, that's multiculturalism. That's not Americanism, because there is only one truth. That's Americanism, not multicultural. You understand the difference, folks? Come on, you got to get this. If you don't get this, you're not going to understand the fight that's going on around us. See, those of us in the queue, we practice Americanism. Keep going.
The government serves the people. It does not rule the people. All authority comes from God, through the people, to elected officials, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed.
See, John's done a miraculous job of taking what the Declaration says and shows us the principle behind it, right? And then he puts Bible verses there that you can go check and say, this principle comes straight from the Father. This is Americanism. Not every American follows Americanism. That's why we have this battle that's going on in America. Keep going, Joe. You're doing great.
The result of such a system is freedom and justice.
And liberty. You see it in there, folks? If we follow Americanism, what do you end up with? Freedom, liberty, and justice. If you follow Americanism, the system they're trying to get away with. Keep going, Joe.
These principles create a free nation governed by the Spirit of Christ.
Okay, I'm going to stop right there a second. Anybody disagree with anything there? Anything point out, say, Coach, that's not really true. Well, I don't believe two parents can be homosexual. Sorry, but they're telling me that's true. Why can't two parents be homosexual? Because it's God's law. Natural law. Immutable, unbreakable natural law. Two parents, they may love each other. They don't engage in sodomy. Sorry. Okay, so there's what, that's Americanism. Okay, that is Americanism. That's where most of us live our lives. And by the way, what we used to teach our children in school. So that when they graduated from school, they were what? Practitioners of Americanism. Okay, here we're going to flip the apple cart upside down. Go ahead, Joe.
Unfortunately, many Americans today are not being taught Americanism, but other isms, communism, socialism, fascism, Nazism, imperialism,
racism, sexism.
All of these are anti-Americanism. Here is how they advance their agendas.
Okay, here's how they destroy Americanism. All right, here's how they do it.
God, the creator, is removed as supreme. Mankind, by force of government, becomes the like the Most High God.
So God's out the window, government becomes God. Next one.
Government leaders divide and conquer by creating division and sowing discord based upon race, color, nationality, political parties, language, ethnicity, or economic status.
None of which has anything to do with Americanism. We're all created equal. There is no separation, right? There's no separation in Americanism. There isn't. No Jew, no Greek, right? Come on, say, nod your head, say, yeah, I see it, coach. I see it, coach. I get it, keep going.
The rights of the people are determined by consent of the government.
Oh, is that right? So I have constitutional rights now. They tell me I need to get a permit to stand on the corner. I have a police officer tell me I can't preach. I have to be nice. Why? Because government threw off God, natural law, and government filled the void. Government becomes God. This is, you're not amen, but this is really good stuff. Keep going.
Government rules over people. The people serve the government. Government replaces God as the supreme authority, the Supreme Court, on all matters of morality. The opinions of men replace God's laws and overthrow the supreme king, lawgiver, and judge.
Wow, that, man, coach, say, coach, this is so good. I know, man. I know. This is what they've done to us. As we teach in our churches, you don't mix religion and politics. Somebody say amen. I'm going to take it back. I need an amen to feel better about myself here.
Amen.
I need some encouragement here. Right?
Amen.
Okay, good.
Amen.
All right, thanks. That's enough. Keep going, Joe.
The public servants reject Christ as king and do what is right in their own eyes and install government as king.
Daggone, this is good.
Government officials hijack their place in the divine chain of command, and instead of performing their function as God's ministers, representatives, and civil servants, they begin acting as rulers and tyrants.
Hey, Vinny, that'd be a good place for a boom. That'd been a real good place for a boom right there, Vinny.
Boom.
Thank you.
The U.S. Constitution is used by the government as a political weapon of control rather than serve the American people.
Wow.
The people are therefore slaves to their government. The result? Tyranny, slavery, and oppression. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be a ruler of a free people. These actions produce a captured nation governed by the spirit of tyranny. James Madison warned us that the Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is totally inadequate for the governance of any other. It is time we face the facts. Not all Americans believe in Americanism. Rebellion against God is at the heart of America's collapse. Being born in a hospital does not make you a doctor. Not all Americans are truly American.
Wow.
Coach, I had a comment a little bit up when we started the...
Go ahead. Scroll up, Spence.
Scroll up, Spence. I
know, man. It's deep, thick. There's too many things to think about. You could spend a month on one of those statements.
It was talking about how we have to replace the government.
Yes, It's our duty. Yes, it's our duty. The Bible says, or the Constitution says, it's our duty. Going back down there a second.
Look, just a little bit lower. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
There it is. One more, maybe.
Let's see. No, that's it.
No, going down one more, I think, Joe. I know what you're talking about. The government serves the people. That's where it is.
Yeah. But it's the people's duty, okay, to remove the government.
That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right, it is the duty of the people to all. That's right from the Declaration, folks.
But, Coach, that's what they're doing.
That's what they are doing.
Correct.
That's what they're doing. And they think it's their duty. Because why? They're Americans who do not believe in Americanism. Get it? Conan, John, let's get some of you in here.
Yeah, what comes to my mind is that the people who left Europe to come to the land and was not called America when it came here was for those God-given rights that they weren't given over Europe. So just like the church building isn't the church, but the brothers and sisters that occupy the building, so is Americanism is in the people and not the land. We could be moved like nomads if we don't control our own destiny by getting out and putting in God-fearing people to rule over us.
Hey, so we could right here in Ohio, and I'm not suggesting this, but we could right here in Ohio start our own country, couldn't we? Couldn't men under Americanism, couldn't we reform? Well, of course we could.
Yes, we could.
Of course we could. Come on in, Alan. And Bernie.
Hey, Coach, my dad wants to say something real fast. Hold on one second.
All right.
Hey, Coach, I'll be 75 in end of August, but I want to share something with you.
All right.
When I was a sophomore in high school in 1960, one of my classmates gave the devotion every morning in school. One day, no prayer. I thought he was sick. Come to find out, he wasn't sick. The federal law is no more prayers in the school system. Mm. I was a Catholic at the time. I went to church every Sunday. The priest in the sanctuary never said one iota about it.
Mm.
And I said, Lord, what's the secret? I don't understand it. Then I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in a missionary Baptist church, 1969, September. So I'm under preachers. Now, 1973, anybody can kill babies in America. The preacher never said one word about it in the sanctuary. Okay?
Yep.
Go up to Cleveland, Tennessee, Perry Stone's ministry. 2015, Obama passes same-sex marriage. All right? Nothing's said about it in the sanctuaries. And then God started showing me something. Perry invited Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio in 2016. I was all excited because I knew there was six prophecies from the Lord on Donald Trump. Now, a week later, I can invite anybody I want. Well, I knew in my spirit somebody's challenged something here. I even rent the building out, and the third week, the federal government contacted me, and if one word is out of line, they will shut this ministry down. And I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, who can shut this ministry down, one word? Then my brother in Christ in Orlando, Florida, okay, Mark Taylor, the Lord told him, he said, my churches are sick and weak. And he said, they think they can serve me and Satan at the same time.
Amen, brother.
Okay, so the scripture says, search it out. Now, this is what Mark Taylor found, and this answered my question all these years. A guy by the name of Lyndon B. Johnson, a senator, came up with a bill. It's called the 501c3 for the churches. Now, behind the scenes, he told his peers, I'm going to show you folks how to keep the priest and preachers out of our politics. Now, that went and passed. There was no rejection from it. It passed with flying colors. Now, here's the, God puts the warning out in 2017. Warn them to come out from underneath that curse. The preachers rejected it. They want the 30 pieces of silver. Now, here's their excuses. A big ministry, I know. Well, we have to have that 501c3 for stamps. Now, let's look at something here. No, I'm serious. Let's look at something here. I'm not an income tax guy, but when you're pulling in 11 million bucks, okay, I would think the taxes on, now that 501c3 is tax-free, all the money that comes into the church. Now, let's back up. Before that bill was passed, the churches had free taxes on the buildings and the land. So the excuses are, oh, we need that for stamps. What, $1 million for stamps? Mm. Oh, well, we got to have our congregation so they can get a refund. Yeah, the millionaires. That's case dismissed.
Amen. Amen. I see why Alan's the way he is. Thanks for coming in. You raised a good boy there, brother. You raised a good boy. Come on in, Bernie.
Okay. Once again, the Department of was called Immigration and Naturalization. Naturalization is where you learn what it means to be an American, okay? And immigration without naturalization is invasion.
Well, that's right. I agree with you, Bernie. And we know the isms that they're teaching them when they come across the border. They're teaching them not Americanism. Go back up there. Where were those? There it is. Stay right there. Huh? They're teaching them communism, evolutionism,
right.
Socialism, fascism, Nazism, imperialism. They're not teaching them Americanism, folks.
I know. They don't even know what it is.
Bernie,
they're our enemies. Unbelievable.
Bernie, we didn't know what it was till today.
Can you say Bernie Arnold? Yeah.
We didn't know what it was till today. Come on in.
The Lord save us. But you know what? I want God to save us from our sin, okay?
Yeah.
So that we can live before him, because otherwise it's not going to be lasting. It's going to be painful, but it's really important in order to reestablish righteousness that people feel some pain, all right? Amen. You know, otherwise, you know, that's what, same way you spank your kids, not because you hate them, but because they got to learn this lesson.
Okay? You love them. You love them. Come on in, Vinny.
Hey, good morning, guys. So this whole slavery thing, you know how easy it is to destroy it. Think about the 3/5 of a person. How does that equate? It doesn't equate. The same people who came up with slavery came up with the 3/5 of a human being. All right. So why don't we just throw that all out the window? Obviously, it has nothing to do with America. America was not founded on slavery. And I just wanted to point in the 13th Amendment, the one that replaced the original 13th Amendment. That alone should tell you how the whole thing is a flim-flam.
Okay, now listen, folks. This is important. Truth is being revealed to us here today. But truth is no good if we don't act upon it. So that we need to begin to think, Lord, how can we counter this? This has been on my heart for several months. I go to... Bobby Lee puts on a great event in Pennsylvania, and he puts on a good one in Kentucky, and Chad puts on a great one down in Texas, and Neil and those guys put on a great event up in Wisconsin, and we have a great one going on here in Ohio, and I look around, and everybody's got gray hair. Everybody's got gray hair. And while we're all out congregating doing all this stuff, they're absolutely destroying our children and our grandchildren. So I've been asking, Lord, do you want me to, Lord, should I be using Sky High to train the next generation? Lord, should we be having youth training sessions? Our granddaughter, Reese, she's at a church camp this week. She's 10. Thank God she's at a church camp. But you know what I'm thinking? Does anybody know what I'm thinking?
Yeah, are there any perverts there?
Yeah. What are they teaching her? And are there any perverts there? Right. And that all of us maybe need to refocus. I spent the morning yesterday. Are you lit? I got to share this. My little grandson David, he's 5. He'll be 6 next week. He came down the other day. We cleaned up some brush. Mark Trump came and helped me clean up some brush. And brush was laying everywhere. And David shows up. I says, David, help me. I want you to earn some money. And I explained earning money and how you do it and finances and how it all works. And then when you have the money, you can control it. You can buy whatever you want to, yada, yada, yada. And so David worked with me for about 2 hours and I gave him $10. And I immediately put him in the car and I drove him over to the place where he had just got a toy the day before. And I drove him over. It's called immediate reinforcement. I drove him over. We got out of the car and we walked in there. And I said, David, because you worked for Grampy and you now have $11 in your hand, David, you can buy any toy you want. I'm not going to buy it for you. Your dad's not going to buy it for you. You can buy whatever you want. Now, listen, you have to always ask your mom if it's okay to buy that, because we don't want you to buy something that could hurt you. But it is your money and you can buy whatever you want. And he said, okay, Grampy. He walked over through the toy thing and he bought something. We walked it up to the counter. He dug in his pocket and he pulled out his $11 and he paid for it. And I thought, boy, what a great day that was. And I got off the show yesterday. You guys, you know, we hang in here in the after show. I got off the show about 8:45 and I walk upstairs and who's sitting on my couch? David. You know what he said? Grampy, can I earn some more money? Ooh. That's profound, isn't it, friends?
That's beautiful. Coach.
Can I give him the rest of the story?
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
I'm telling you, what a lesson that was for little Davey. But I'm out there working, and, you know, it's a mess. I'm cutting briars and stuff, and I look around, and little Davey, all on his own, is pulling brush to the brush pile by himself. I didn't tell him what to do. So that's the good part of it. The bad part of the story is I'm weed-eating. I look around, little Davey's gone. I'm like, where's little Davey? Come to find out, Coach, let him go to the store in the middle of the world.
Reinforcement, immediate reinforcement. And then listen to this, folks. Listen, we got to do this stuff, right? So then one of the things that he earned, he earned the money yesterday. Oh, can I say that, Lord? Will they take it as a joke? Will they? Yes. Okay. Yes, Lord, I'm going to say it and they will take it as a joke. David's dad comes from some Jewish heritage. I said, David's a little Jew. Can you laugh? Is it okay? Will you laugh? Can somebody laugh with me? I said, those genes go deep, don't they? Those genes go deep. So anyway, David shows up. I told him the day before, Mark, when he's picking up these little sticks and he's putting them in the fire. I said, David, I'm going to give you $5 if you pick up 20 branches. He said, okay. And so he turns to walk away. And I said, David, listen, whenever somebody tells you to pick up 20 branches, always pick up 22. Always do more than they ask you to do. And then people will know that you're,
amen.
That you're a man.
Amen,
of your, you're a man of your word. So David picked up 22 and threw them in the fire. And then yesterday when he comes down, he wants to earn some more money. I said, well, okay, David, there's some more sticks out there. Go out there and you pick up 20 sticks and you come back in there. Now, Grampy will give you $5 for picking up the 20 sticks. And he's out there a little bit and he's out there 5 minutes or 10 minutes, wandering around, throwing those sticks on the fire. And he comes back in and he comes in, he looks, got those big brown eyes, looks at me and he says, Grampy, I picked up 24. Huh? Folks, are we purposefully teaching
values
to our children?
Values. Amen, Coach. Values.
Yeah. Values. Values. Americanism. Values. Because I'm going to tell you something. Those are not the values he's being taught at school. I promise you, Well, he doesn't go to school. Those are not the values being taught in his public school. By the way, friends, probably not the values being taught in your youth group either, right? So Reggie just, you know, Reggie put in the chat here, sent me a text. You know, she's been saying it for a long time. We got to get the youth. We have to, friends. We have to somehow get the youth because we know this. The devil's after him. Come on in, Bobby.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on your gray hair comment about 5 minutes ago. Listen, it's not the young people that are showing up in any of these trainings in any venues learning these skills. It's the gray hairs. Now, listen, I don't want to hear anybody ever else say, "I'm too old to do that." I don't care if you're 75 or 25. You have to force your body to do what it doesn't want to do. You have to learn new skills. Every day is a training day. I'm telling you that if we don't start training, and if we don't start losing some weight, and if we don't force ourselves to become able to do these things, you and we are just not going to make it in difficult times. You have to change how you think.
We do. We do. Come on in, Dale. No, Dale just
dropped. Hey, brother, the eagle has landed. We got home last night.
Good, and, buddy.
You know, it's not about an event. It's not about an organization. But where we were at in Arizona, you know that it's probably 80% homeschooled of OSA. You know, the people there, I would say of the 400 people there, 200 were the ages of 25 and under.
Praise the Lord. Praise
so the there Lord. Is hope. But I agree, brother.
We got to start taking our kids to do ministry. We have to start taking our kids with us to do ministry.
We have to get our kids out of the school system and quit using excuses. And I'm with you, Coach, to help. How can we get to these young people? Let's do it.
It's got to be purposeful. Craig, just a second. Pull up real quick for me. Delta variant. Pull that up real quick, Spencer. Go ahead, Craig.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
When God asked us to pick up 26, do we pick up 18? Do we pick up 20? Do we pick up 22? Or do we pick up 24? That's the deeper question.
In fact, Jesus, I think, spoke about going the extra mile, didn't he? Didn't he tell a parable about that? And that to the best of my ability, I'm going to teach my grandchildren, our grandchildren, to be people of integrity. I'm going to teach them Americanism again, Americanism. Now, I want to throw this because I think it's important, friends. Just so we keep one eye down the road, we understand what's going on. I'll get you in a second, Bernie. July 1st, 2021. Surgeon General issues a grim warning on Indian Delta variant, saying, if you are not vaccinated, you are in trouble, and claims a future COVID strain could beat the vaccines. And the article goes on to say that the problem in America is going to be the unvaccinated, friends. It's going to be you. Coach. It's going to be you. Yeah, Paul.
That's doublespeak.
Sure it is.
You see, I mean, this tells you that this is a psychop. They're trying to psych out. It's a psychop.
Paul, not only is it a psychop, now they're telling us who are the most vulnerable. Did you see that, Reggie? Who are the most vulnerable now in this new Delta variant? Oh, why the kids?
But it's two words. It says, okay, if you're not vaccinated, you're in trouble. But if you're vaccinated, you're still not going to beat the virus.
Yeah, it is doublespeak. It is doublespeak. Delta variant now estimated to comprise 20% of new infections in the United States. Facts, folks, in other words, the old vaccine doesn't work. Why? Because we're 2 years down the road from the old flu, and there's a new flu. So you can take that vaccine you want to, all you want on that old flu. It ain't going to do anything about the new flu. And the truth, if it were to be told, is the vaccination issue is coming from those who have been vaccinated. They become the spreaders, right? Okay, so what? I want to vaccinate. I want to inoculate all of you. We are now inoculated into Americanism, and we are going to spread that virus everywhere we go. And you have in that commentary I wrote the principles of Americanism. We need to begin to teach them to our children, teach them to our friends, teach them to our neighbors, because not all Americans are Americans. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless.